If you have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Matthew. I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, beginning with the first verse, I'd like to read the first eight verses. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. Before we begin to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask you if you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Brother David, I think is the sound too loud? Seems like the sound. Maybe it's just echoing in my head. Okay. Let's bow our heads, please, for a moment of prayer and pray for God to help us and bless us as we begin to study from His holy word. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God, the privilege of knowing that Thou art our Heavenly Father, that You're greater in Your love for us than we can even begin to comprehend. We thank You, Lord, for sending Thine only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sins. We're thankful that Jesus accomplished what He came to do. We're thankful that as He cried upon the cross of Calvary, it is finished. We're thankful, Lord, that He did accomplish, that He came to save His people from their sins. We thank You, Lord, that we know that we're redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, for all the blessings that we have in this world. We thank You for our families and the fellowship that we have one with another. We thank You for the family of God and the love and the fellowship we enjoy with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank You, Lord, for this church. Thank You for Thy people that come and worship here. We beg Thy blessings upon all those who are sick and afflicted, those who have special burdens and problems. Lord, You know the needs of each person that's not here this morning. And You know the needs of those who are here. We know that every person has their own particular burdens and problems, and we ask You to bless each one, not according to what we deserve, but according to Thy mercy and Thy grace. Lord, we're thankful that You're merciful and a gracious God, and that's the only reason we can come before Thy throne of grace, is to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. Bless us now as we try to study Thy holy word. Thou hast taught us that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. So we come this morning asking You to fill us all with Your Spirit that we might hear, understand, believe, and obey Thy holy word. Teach us now, we pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to read now from Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, beginning with the first verse. The Word of God says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him." Can you imagine being one of these three men that were up on that mountain and you saw Jesus transfigured? You saw Him changed and you knew that He was God in the flesh. You saw the glory of God shining in Jesus. And then, in addition to that, you were able to see and blessed to see Moses and Elijah. I want you to remember that Moses and Elijah, as far as the Jews were concerned, as far as Peter and James and John, these three men that were up on the mountain with Jesus, as far as these three men were concerned, the two greatest men in all the world that had ever lived were Moses, the one who spoke the law, and Elijah, the beginning of the prophets. Moses and Elijah, to stand in the presence of those two men, of Moses and Elijah, and also for Jesus to be right there. So they saw Moses and Elijah talking with them. Verse 4 says, "Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here." Can't you say that? That it is good for us to be here. Every time that you're in the presence of God, every time that you're enjoying blessings from God, you need to cry unto God and say, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. I'm thankful for the blessings we have just come through this season that we call Thanksgiving. And I pray that God will help every one of us to realize it's good what God has done for us. God has been good to every one of us. We need to cry out and say, Lord, it is good for us to be here. So that's what Peter did. He said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias or Elijah. I believe that Peter thought that he was honoring Jesus Christ. I do. I think that when Peter said, let's make three tabernacles, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, and one for Jesus, I think that Peter actually thought, you know, Jesus, we're going to esteem you just as highly as we do Moses and Elijah. We're going to consider you as great as Moses was. We're going to consider you as great as Elijah was. So we're going to build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. I think Peter was, with his limited understanding, with his lack of understanding, I think he was doing everything he could to honor Jesus Christ. We're going to build three tabernacles. We're going to put you on the same level that we do Moses and Elijah. I want you to listen now to verse 5. Verse 5 says, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Can you imagine that? Now they've seen Jesus transfigured. Now they've seen Moses and they've seen Elijah. And then they hear a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. They heard God speak. I believe they literally heard with their ears, they heard God speak from heaven. However, when God spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him, I do not think that any longer they thought Jesus was on the same plane as Moses and Elijah. I think that in that instant they realized that Jesus is the Son of God and He's far superior to Moses and Elijah. And I think they felt very guilty. I think that they felt ashamed. I think they were afraid when they realized what they had done was that they had lowered in their own estimation. They had lowered the Son of Man to be on the same plane as Moses and Elijah. And so when they realized what they had done, they were very much afraid. And verse 6 says, and when the disciples heard it, when they heard that voice from heaven, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. They saw nobody else except Jesus. And the last two words that I read to you are the words that are on my heart this morning. For the Word of God says that they saw no man save what? Jesus only. There is nobody else on this earth that deserves the praise, honor, and glory like Jesus Christ deserves it. He is the only one. He is the only true God, Jesus Christ, is God manifest in the flesh. And they saw Jesus only. Right then, they understood something they had never understood before. They understood that Jesus is God in the flesh. And that Jesus is the Son of God. And they saw Jesus only. And brethren, I pray that God will help us to understand this morning that what we need to do is that we need to see that Jesus only is to receive all the praise, honor, and glory in our lives. Aren't we often guilty of giving praise to men? Just like Peter did and James and John, that we want to exalt men and put men up on pedestals. And I want you to understand, brethren, that we need to understand the only one that's to be worshipped, the only one that's to be praised is Jesus Christ. That's true, not only in the church, but in our government and everywhere in all the world around us, we need to see, what are the last two words there? We need to see Jesus only. Now that's what they saw
when God had illuminated their eyes, when they had heard the voice of God from heaven, when they had seen all they had seen, then they saw, when their understanding was enlightened, they saw Jesus only. That is, nobody else but Jesus. Go with me to the book of Colossians. Go forward in your Bibles to the book of Colossians. I want you to notice in Colossians chapter 1, I just want you to think about a number of different ways that we ought to be only seeing Jesus. That we ought to see that Jesus alone, that He alone deserves all the praise, honor, and glory that we can give Him. That we need to see Jesus only. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. You know, we think about the church in the earth. You know what it is that makes a church grow? You know what it is that makes a church grow? You have to come up with various kinds of games, and you have to come up with different kinds of gimmicks, and you come up with different kinds of ways to entice the world to come into the church. That's how churches grow. I'll tell you, that's the theology of men, not the doctrine of the Word of God. In fact, the church, the true church of Jesus Christ, the church will die when you try to bring the world into the church. And when you use the devices and schemes of men to bring people into the church, you're bringing people that are not concerned with Jesus Christ. They don't want to see Jesus Christ. The only people that need to come into the church, the only people, brethren, that need to, the only thing the church needs to always exalt is Jesus Christ. If they don't love Jesus, they don't need to be in the church. Everybody follow that? Jesus only. That's the only thing. Not the preacher, not the pews, not the building. Nothing else should draw you to the church except Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. I'm not the head, and no group of men are the head of the church. Jesus only is the head. And we need to see Jesus only as the head of the church and the foundation of the church. It's Jesus only. Not Jesus and a group of other men. It's Jesus only. And do you know who Jesus is dependent on in order for this church or any other church to continue? He's not dependent on anybody in this world. Jesus only is the one that can protect the church and keep the church going. Colossians chapter 1, now listen to verse 18. I want you to see Jesus only as the head of the church and the foundation of the church. He's our all in all. That's one of the songs that we sing sometimes. Christ is what? Christ is all. All in all. He's all the world. Sometimes we sing that song, Jesus is all the world to me. I believe that the writers of those songs understood and they saw Jesus only. Jesus only. In Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 18. The Word of God says, and He, that's referring back to Jesus Christ, and He, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. Who's the head of the body? Let me ask you this question. Can you get along without your arm? Can you get along without your arm? Can you live without your finger? Can you live without your toe? Can you live without your eye? Can you live without your ears? You can live without all these other parts of the body. But I'll tell you, you cut the head off, that's the death of the body. You behead someone, that body is no longer living. When Jesus Christ is no longer in the church is dead. Can churches die? Yes, they can. The Word of God makes it plain in Revelation chapter 3, one of those churches there, He says, thou hast a name that thou livest, but thou art dead. Why were they dead? Let me ask you this. Why did they have a name that they were alive? Why did the church there have a name that they were alive? You think it was full of people? You think a lot of people were there? I think so. You think there was a lot of activity there? I think so. They had a name that they were alive. But Jesus' declaration was, they're dead. And the only thing, brethren, that brings life to the church is the head of the body, Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. He's the heart of the church. All of us are just members of His body. The church is composed of the various members of the body of Christ, but Jesus is the head of the church. It's from Him that we get our wisdom. It's from Him we get our strength. It's from Him that we get our understanding. It's from Him, it's God that works in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Jesus is the head of the body, the church. Jesus and who? Jesus
alone. That's what I wanted to get. Jesus only. When I say Jesus, I want you to understand I'm talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Because the Scripture says in this passage of Scripture that in Him, let me find that. Look at, well, it's not right here, but the Scripture says, well, look at verse 19. This is there's another verse that says, in Him, that is in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You follow that? In who? In Jesus dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Look at verse 19 here. Verse 19 says, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. That is, in Christ all fullness dwells. Now look at verse 18. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. Who is the beginning? I'm asking you the question. Who is the beginning of the church? Jesus Christ and the 12 apostles, right? Nope. Not Jesus and the 12 apostles. Jesus didn't say me and the 12 apostles or me and all the preachers. He says, upon this rock, not we, I will build my church. You know whose church this is? And I encourage you, brethren, don't call this your church. So often we say, our church this, our church that. You will never find in the Word of God where the people of God ever refer to the church as our church. It's not our church, it's the Lord's church. It's His church, it's His body. He's the one that redeemed the body. He's the one that established the church. And He only is the one who owns the church. It's His church. Follow that? It's His church. He's the head of the body, the church, which is who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, listen to the next phrase there, that in all things, He, pronoun He was referring back to whom?
Jesus
Christ. That in all things, He might have the what? Preeminence. What does preeminence mean? That means above everything else. Him alone, Jesus only, is to receive all the praise, honor, and glory. That's the reason when we're baptized in the name of Jesus. You might say, well, we're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's true. The name, we're baptized in the what?
Name.
The names, plural, of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost?
Name.
No, not the names, plural, but the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. What is the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus is in Him that all the fullness of the Godhead dwells. Jesus is the head of the church. That it's in Him that He shall have preeminence in all things. One of the questions, the Scripture says that God has given Him a name which is what? Above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every tongue should bow, every knee should bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus alone, Jesus only, is the head of the church. Now, not only is He the only head of the church and everything about the church, but if you back up to verse 16, you find that Jesus is not only the head of the church, but in verse 16, the Word of God says, for by Him were all things, what? Created. Now, we've got Jesus only as the head of the church, right? Now we say Jesus only is the one who did what?
Created
this world. Brethren, I really feel sorry for so-called Christians that try to harmonize evolution and creation. That's one of the saddest things in the world to me. I'm glad that God's given me enough faith to believe and know that in the beginning of this world, that God spoke this world into existence. He created it from nothing. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God spoke this world into existence. Do you know when Jesus had His beginning? Somebody tell me, when it was 2,000 years ago, right? Is that when Jesus had His beginning? Oh, no, not 2,000 years ago. That's when Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. If you go back to the beginning of this world, go back 6,000 years ago, was Jesus there?
Yes.
The Word of God says in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it was by the Word that the world was created. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Listen, brethren, was Jesus back there in the beginning of this world? Who spoke this world into existence?
It was the Word of God that spoke this world into existence. Who is the living Word? It's Jesus Christ. And Jesus only is the one who spoke this world into existence. Jesus only. Listen again to verse 16. Colossians 1 and verse 16. The Word of God says, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him." Jesus. What's the next word? Jesus what? Jesus only. All things were created by Him. I'm not going to get into to that, but I'm going to tell you, brethren, the idea that Jesus, Well, I'm just going to ask you this question. You look at verse 16 and you tell me where the devil came from. Where did the devil come from? Was he created by the devil? I mean, was he created by Jesus? If you don't believe that, you see me after church, I'll be glad to sit down and study with you. I don't have time to go there right now. But I'm telling you, the devil has never been in eternal heaven. This idea that the devil was up there in eternal heaven, he was one of the angels, and all of a sudden he decided he wanted to be like God, and God threw him out of eternal heaven. There's never been sin in the eternal heaven. If an angel up there in heaven could all of a sudden decide he wants to be like God, I tell you, I have no surety and no security and no confidence that when I get there, I won't one day want to be like God and God cast me out of heaven. The Word of God declares there has never been sin in the eternal heaven. There's never was an angel in eternal heaven that was cast out. There are other heavens taught in the Word of God than the eternal heaven. And sin can be in many other heavens, but sin cannot be in the eternal heaven. Never has been, never will be. What did Jesus create? Verse 16. For by Him were all things created that in heaven, that are in heaven and are in earth. Now listen, visible and invisible. Is the devil visible or invisible? Is he visible or invisible? Okay, all right. Whether they be thrones, does the devil have his throne? Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Do we wrestle against flesh and blood? Do we wrestle against flesh and blood? No. What do we wrestle against? We wrestle against principalities, against powers. We wrestle against the devil. Where did they come from? All things were made by Him. Principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Does the devil have a purpose in this world? Did God create him for a purpose? Yes, He did. Now, do you see Jesus only as the head of the church? Jesus only. Do you see Jesus only as the creator of this world? Jesus only. Now, I want you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews. This is one of the most beautiful passages that we'll look at this morning. This is where we'll concentrate our time and our study, is in Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. I want you this morning, I want you to see that in all things, Jesus is to have the preeminence. He's to be exalted above all others. There's no man, no group of men, no body of people on this earth that compares to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1, I want you to listen to verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, the Word of God says, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us." What are the next three words? By His Son. God has spoken to us by His Son. Do you see how Jesus is being exalted here? Do you see what the Apostle Paul or whoever wrote the Hebrew letter, do you see what he's saying? He's saying in days past, God spoke to us by prophets, like Elijah, right? But now, God has spoken to us by His Son in these last days. God has spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world. What's He again emphasizing here? Who made the world? Jesus created the worlds. By whom He made the worlds. Verse 3 says, I want you to listen. Verse 3 is something different. Who being the brightness of His glory, who is the brightness of His glory? Who is that?
Jesus.
That's Jesus. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had, now listen carefully, when He had by Himself purged our sins. Do you hear that phrase there? He had
Now, why do you think God was so specific as to say, when He had by Himself purged our sins? What do you hear? What do you think of? What two words do you think of when it says by Himself? Yes, Jesus only. Jesus only. Not Jesus. You know who saved you from your sins? You know, I just really get upset when I hear people talking about how many people they saved from eternal hell. You know how many people I've ever saved from eternal hell to eternal heaven? You know how many I've ever saved? Zero. Not one. Do you know why? Because the only Savior, the only one who has ever saved anybody from eternal hell to eternal heaven is Jesus Christ. It's not Jesus and the preacher. It's not Jesus and the church. It's not Jesus and your parents. It's Jesus only. He is the Savior of His people. He didn't try to save. He didn't offer to save. He saved His people from their sins. Jesus only. What's the Scripture say here? That He by Himself purged our sins. So you see, who is the Savior? Who is the Savior? Jesus only. Who is the Creator? Jesus only. Who is the head of the church? Jesus only. Now listen to verse 4. After it says that He by Himself purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Verse 4 says, being so much better than the angels. Who is it that's better than the angels? Jesus only. Yeah, that's right. Jesus only. Are you better than the angels? The Bible says that man was made a little what? A little lower than the angels. That's what man was made. Man was made a little lower than the angels. But what about Jesus? He's better than the angels. Do you see? The only one better than the angels is Jesus, who the Scripture says being so much better, not just a little better. Isn't that pretty? Not just a little bit better. He is so... Now, we're made a little what? We're a little lower than the angels, but what's Jesus? He's so much better than the angels. So much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Are there any? Is Michael a great archangel? Michael a great archangel? Yes, he is. Michael's a great archangel. Are you thankful for Michael? I'm thankful for Michael the archangel. But I'll tell you, there's a name that's above all the names, even of the names of angels. That's one name. What's that name? Jesus. That's the name. God's given him a name that's above every name. That's Jesus. A more excellent name than they. Verse 5. Look at verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son. Oh, here's something else. He's the only one. Now you listen carefully to this. Jesus is the only begotten what?
Son of God.
Son of God. See, that's what the Scripture says. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Now, are we children of God? Yes, we're children of God. We're children of God by us being quickened and made alive and adopted in the family of God. But Jesus is different than us. Jesus is better than us. There's a difference in Jesus and us. Jesus is, the Scripture says, the only begotten Son of God. Who else? Are you a begotten Son of God in the same sense Jesus is? Absolutely not. Jesus only. He is the only begotten Son of God. Verse 5 says, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my Son. Thou art my Son. Isn't that wonderful when God the Father would speak from heaven and say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus only. This day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Never said that to any of the angels. Come down to verse 8. I want to show you one other thing, Jesus only. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. Here's what God said. God said to Jesus, God the Father said to God the Son, but unto the Son he saith, that is, God saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Whose throne? Whose throne?
Jesus.
Jesus' throne. Is what? Forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness and the scepter of... What's the last two words there?
Thy kingdom.
Thy kingdom. Thy kingdom. You know who's... Do we talk about and preach about the kingdom of heaven? Whose kingdom is it? The kingdom of heaven. It's thy kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. It's the kingdom of Christ. Let me tell you something, brethren. Sometimes I think that maybe we concentrate
on the kingdom of heaven to the exclusion of Jesus. And I want you to all understand, anytime we're talking about the kingdom of heaven, we're talking about the king of that kingdom. There is no kingdom without Jesus. Jesus is the head of the kingdom. And when we talk about entering into the kingdom of heaven, we're talking about getting in the presence of the king. We're talking about having fellowship with the king. There is no entrance into the kingdom of heaven without fellowship with the king in his kingdom. It's his kingdom and his kingdom only. Nobody else's kingdom. Not our kingdom, not our church. His church, his kingdom, his throne. But God, by his grace, allows us to be a part of his church and his kingdom. But Jesus only has this kingdom. Jesus only preserves this kingdom. Jesus only gives you permission to come into that kingdom. Did you know that? The Scripture says this. The Scripture says, the Father judgeth no man. The Son is the one who does the judging. The Father judgeth no man, but the Son. Who does the judging about whether or not you enter the kingdom of heaven? It's the Son. Why? It's his kingdom. Who gave him? The Father gave him the kingdom, and it's his kingdom. Go with me to... Well, let me just ask you a couple of questions. Have you ever heard anybody call somebody Rabbi? Rabbi? Listen, there's some religions that... Yeah, okay. Brother Bill said there's some religions that call people Father. They'll call them Rabbi. Now, let me tell you something, brethren. In fact, you probably better read this. Let's turn to Matthew 23. I want you to look at it because I don't want you to think it's just something I'm making up. But I want you to know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, I want you to know this. I want you to remember this. And any time that you hear somebody calling another man Father so-and-so, I want you to understand that Jesus said, don't you call anybody Father in that sense. You're not to call them Rabbi either. Matthew chapter 23, listen to verses 8, 9, and 10. The Word of God says in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 8, the Word of God says, but be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master. One? You mean just one? You mean only one? Well, guess who is only one? Jesus is the only one. And so Jesus says, be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. You know what I am? Brother. I went in to get a haircut this week, and I've got a good barber, whether you think so or not, I like him. And he said, come in, Reverend Mullis. I said, whoa. I said, you had never called me Reverend Mullis before. He said, that's right, you like to be called elder. I said, no, you just call me brother, Brother Bill. And he's my brother in Christ. I love him, and he loves me. But my point is this. The Bible only uses the word reverend one time in all the Word of God. Did you know that? Just one time do you find the word reverend. And it's not in reference to a man. The Bible says holy and reverend is his name. The name of God is holy. The name of God is reverend. And any time that I want to take that kind of a title on myself and tell you to call me holy, or some people even say I'm the holy reverend so-and-so, I'll tell you, brethren, they don't understand Jesus only. And we need to tell them Jesus only. Anytime you hear people using that term reverend, or rabbi, or master, or father, and they're applying that to a man on this earth, you need to tell them what Jesus said. You need to say, my king said, don't call any man on this earth rabbi. Don't call any man rabbi except Christ. He is the only rabbi. He's the only rabbi. Do you hear me? He's the only one. Verse 9 says, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called master, for one is your master, even Christ. Who is our master? Who is our spiritual heavenly father? There's only one father. There's only one master. There's only one rabbi. May God help us to understand that truth. Let me ask you one other question. When you go to God in prayer, and again, I'm not picking on other denominations, but I just want you to all understand this truth. You don't go through any man to get to the Father. You understand that? Aren't you glad? Brother Richard, if me and you were mad at each other and you said, Brother Billy, I need to go to the Father in prayer. Will you please carry my prayer to the Father? I say, no, I don't like you right now, Brother Richard. Oh, please, Brother. No, it's not through the preacher. Isn't that wonderful? No man. Through no man. Here's what the Scripture says. In 1 Timothy 2:5, I believe 2:5 or maybe 15, 2:5, I believe. The Scripture says, there is one mediator between God and man. One mediator. Not several. Not a group of people. There is only one mediator. Only one. And who is that one mediator? Jesus Christ the Lord. He's the only mediator between God and man. Now, let me just in closing mention this. There were some Greeks. There were some Greeks one time who came, I believe, to Philip and said, Sir, we would see what?
Jesus.
We would see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. And I want all of you to leave here today with that desire in your heart. Sir, I want you to go to Father. And in fact, I want you always to tell the preacher that. Sir, I want to see Jesus. Sir, don't tell me about other things. Don't tell me about current events. Sir, I want to see Jesus. When you're preaching the kingdom of heaven, you're preaching Jesus?
Yes.
When you're preaching about the creation of this world, are you preaching Jesus? Yes, if you preach the truth. If you're preaching about the church, are you preaching Jesus? Here's what the Apostle Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Let me tell you something, brethren. Every passage in this Bible is about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Don't tell me that you want to hear about Jesus and tell me I'm not preaching about Jesus if I'm preaching something from this book. Because everything in this book is about Jesus. Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of Me. If you're preaching church discipline, are you preaching about Jesus? Yes. See, people just get so confused. We need to pray that God will help us to see Jesus only every day. And then we'll give Him the praise, honor, and glory that's due His great and holy name, is my prayer for Christ's sake.